The sooner that you can start to understand financial planning and where you're at, where you're headed, what are some of the things, you know, that you can do to put yourself in the best situation, and what are some of the things that to make sure that you can avoid from a risk standpoint, the better off you're going to be from a confidence standpoint.
Welcome to the All Things Retirement Podcast with certified financial planner, Anthony Alfo. Here's your host, Ben George.
Well, hello and welcome back into All Things Retirement. Glad to have you on the podcast today. I'm Ben George with Anthony Alfo, Cardinal Wealth Group, who you can always find online at cardinalwg.com. And you can always give him a call at 609-362-5512. Anthony, what's going on today?
Not much, just wrapping up, I guess, the summer now and taking a quick vacation down to in-laws' beach place, and then kind of hitting the ground running in September with review meetings. So, you know, it's crazy. I mean, we typically have them 2 to 3 times a year, and very little downtime, and it goes fast, especially with the kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, it feels like we were just talking about your recent review meetings, but here we are about to circle back around. But yeah, as you said, the summer goes fast, especially, and with kids, everything seems to speed up too. So good that you're going to have that final vacation to wrap things up, and then I know the end of the year will be here pretty soon. But a lot of retirement planning conversations need to be had, so if you haven't already, reach out, cardinalwg.com. Again, you can start your Cardinal Success journey right now. Just log on, click the button there. You'll find it pretty easy to navigate the website. Great, clean website with a lot of great resources as well. So check it out there when you get a chance. I've got a couple things I want to get into today with you. First off, we're going to talk for our main conversation today about being ready for retirement. This idea that, hey, I'm getting close to retirement age. I feel like I'm ready, or I don't feel like I'm ready. Some of the reasons why that might be. Talk through that. But I wanted to share an article with you first, Anthony, and kind of get your thoughts on this, because I think it's interesting. So we're in a time right now, as you know, and you're well aware, that people are struggling in a lot of areas financially, and money's just not going as far as it used to, I think is the big thing. But the CNBC article talks about Americans feel like they need a $233,000 salary and nearly $1.3 million for retirement. So the headline definitely grabs your attention right away, doesn't it?
I did. I remember seeing this article. I think it's probably a couple of weeks, maybe, give or take. But I was kind of shocked by it. I mean, $233,000 is quite a large salary. I'm sure that puts that person somewhere in the top 2%, give or take, income wise. But I certainly with inflation, and you know, I've talked to my wife about this a few times with just going to the grocery store and saying, you know, there's so many people who live off of way less, you know, 50, 60,000 family four. I'm like, I don't even know how they can even feed their family and do anything. And, you know, so, I mean, I definitely feel where people are coming from to kind of feel secured to some degree with a 200 plus salary. I'm sure a lot of those folks really feel like they're just getting by, given how expensive, I mean, real estate, especially with mortgage rates and all the different changes that we've come through with post-COVID on inflation. So I definitely understand that. But, you know, on the $1.3 million for retirement, you know, I feel like that's a little bit more of a feeling, more of a qualitative type of feeling, versus quantitative in some ways. You know, I think the average person has nowhere near $1.3 million. So, you know, I don't know if they've interviewed just the same type of people who kind of feel like, you know, we needed $1 million to retire. And certain cases, you know, that 1.3 is way more than what they would really need. And in other cases, it's not nearly enough. We see it all the time. You know, I think it's really going to come down to looking at what that lifestyle spend looks like in comparison. So with Social Security, your pension, and your investments, you know, how does that match up to your income needs? And, you know, if you're somebody who needs $100,000 to live and you have a pension and Social Security that's already giving you, say, $80,000, and you only need about $20,000 coming from your portfolio, then you don't nearly need 1.3 to be financially successful. But in that same type of person who needs a $100,000, and if their, say, pension and Social Security are only giving them $60,000, and now they need $40,000 from their portfolio, you know, they might need more than $1.3 million. So I think it, you know, really depends on how your assets stack up to that lifestyle.
To me, and you can maybe tell me if I'm wrong here, but to me, on the surface, it feels like if you need, and maybe this wasn't the same set of people, I don't know, but I would assume it would be, they surveyed, but I would assume if you feel like $233,000 is what you need to feel comfortable just living your life right now, 1.3 doesn't seem like it's going to be a whole lot. I mean, what is that, 6 times your salary, 7 times your salary? Doesn't seem like it's going to be enough. Like, those two numbers don't feel like they match up.
That's a great point. Yeah, I don't know if that's the same folks, right? If it's, you know, the same people responding to the 233 versus the 1.3. But I would think that somebody who needs somewhere, again, 233 when you subtract taxes and retirement contributions to kind of see what's left over there, you know, it could be they're living more like a $150,000 lifestyle. They would need a significant pension and Social Security amount for that 1.3 to really work. So yeah, if it's just really your typical person that has 2 Social Securities and a nest egg, they're going to need certainly most likely more than that 1.3 million for sure.
Well, the other part of this article, which again, we'll put in the show notes for you, but if you are concerned, right, and there are a lot of people that are just worried, am I going to have enough? Am I going to work longer than I wanted to get to that number? They have a couple of things you can keep in mind to help you continue to build that nest egg. And they're obviously very, very obvious things to do, but they are good reminders that consistency, right? Just take small steps. You can't, don't try to hit the home run. Don't try to say everything at once, right? Those little things you're doing every day go a long way.
Yeah, I would say certainly from the folks that are at a $233,000 type of salary or whatever the salary is, the sooner that you can start to kind of understand, let's say you're 40 years old or 50, just to understand mathematically, you know, what you would really need essentially to kind of continue that similar lifestyle, the earlier you can kind of find out about that. And if you are falling a little short and there's some gaps there, the sooner that you can address it, easier it's going to be versus, say, waiting, you know, a couple years out from retirement. That's for sure.
The other thing they mentioned is live within your means, right? Very obvious, and that's something that's basic financial advice, but budgeting maybe is as important now as it's ever been.
Absolutely, especially with, you know, inflation. Sometimes there are going to be some, you know, tough decisions that you ultimately need to make, whether that's you know, downsizing on some of those expenditures, or, you know, trying to get control of some of that discretionary spending to make sure that you're socking enough away for the long term. So the sooner the better that you can kind of start to look at this. And, you know, most of the time it's not major changes that you need to make, but small tweaks can really go a long way, especially when you have time on your side.
Absolutely. So we'll throw that in the show notes. Interesting read, if nothing else, but curious how you feel about how much you need to feel comfortable year to year and how much you're going to need for retirement. But again, truly the only way to figure out how much you're going to need is by working with a financial advisor, certified financial planner like Anthony, that can actually help you put all the pieces together and figure that number out. If you want to start that Cardinal Success journey, get your free assessment now. You can do so by logging on cardinalwg.com. And that takes us to our main conversation today, Anthony. It ties perfectly into this is, ready or not, retirement is going to be there eventually. So if you are getting close to retirement age, you know, that big question comes up, hey, can I go ahead and retire or should I continue working? So I want to talk about this a little bit and talk about it both from a financial and an emotional perspective as well, because both of those things weigh heavily into this decision a lot. So there are a lot of people that reach retirement age and, you know, based on this article, probably even more and more every day, that say they don't want to retire. And do you find when you come in contact with somebody like this, is it because they truly do enjoy their job and want to continue working? Or do you find it's more of like, I don't know that I actually can retire right now for financial reasons. That's why I'm going to tell you I'm not ready.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a little bit of both plays there. Certainly, I think there's some of the societal pressures defining age as a factor, right? When you think about, you know, Social Security has some ages around it, Medicare require minimum distributions. Some places have forced retirement after a certain amount of years of service or age. So I think those are definitely playing a role on influencing the way people feel. And, you know, a lot of people want to continue to contribute to their work or society and actually enjoy working and looking at it. You know, age is just a number. They enjoy the challenge of the stimulation from day to day. And I think that on the other side, there are still a lot of people who feel like they're behind from, you know, a number of reasons, whether it's, you know, not saving enough and things like that. But just as mentioned, you know, we see a lot of people that feel this way, but can definitely retire. You know, recently we had somebody that came in. They had north of $1 million and had pensions and Social Security. Their job was eliminated due to company changes. They were pretty emotional because that job was let go with, you know, very little heads up. They did get some severance and health care benefits paid for, which were coming to an end. And yeah, they hadn't really done any real financial planning ahead of time. But also, if you look at it from, and this is more of a societal thing, she was raised by her parents that were born of the Depression. So she was raised with a really strong work ethic and always told to, you know, keep saving and work as long as you can. So, you know, I think that when they came in, it was more of helping them understand where they're at and, you know, are they really in a position where they have to keep working. She never, like I said, never worked with an advisor other than the person that managed the 401k for the company. So they didn't really feel too good about where they were given everything that happened. I mean, nearly in tears. And, you know, when we went through this analysis to show them, ultimately it was that they're really in a position that work was optional for them and that she no longer had to work and didn't really need this money. And that brought her to tears again when she, you know, learned this. And, you know, she's been out there, you know, really looking for a new job. But we were able to explain to her, A, you know, here's one scenario if you never do get that similar type of job that was paying us, you know, six digits. But here's two other scenarios where if you did go back to work with, say, half of the income or in a more of a part-time type of role that's, you know, certainly not paying nearly as much, and just kind of showed, you know, how the assets would work in those three different scenarios where, you know, in one we would delay Social Security if she didn't really need it and or using IRA distributions. And you could literally see like the pressure just dissipate from her face and, you know, certainly really happy. But, you know, I think that these types of scenarios are, they're definitely out there. I think, you know, in some ways ageism is alive and well. And, you know, these companies, a lot of folks aren't making it as long as they expect to in their working careers.
Yeah, thanks for sharing those stories. I think that helps kind of paint the picture for a lot of people as we talk about people approaching retirement age and not sure if they are ready or not. Do you think that kind of that idea of retirement age, and I think it's, you know, still tied to obviously Social Security and some other things, but do you think that idea is kind of fading away a little bit? I know more and more people have wanted to retire early, and it just seems like it's a lot more fluid discussion than it's been, you know, even a couple decades ago.
Yeah, I still think people want to retire early for sure. I mean, a good part of folks that come in are looking to say that they want to get out as soon as possible. And, you know, there's certainly obviously still a good chunk that really want to continue to work. They identify with work and it's who they feel like that they are. Or they don't really have any plans to, you know, retire to something else at that time. So you definitely see both scenarios out there for sure.
All right. What about those people then that fall in the category of they are financially able to retire comfortably, but they don't have confidence? I'm not so sure if I'm ready to step away yet or not. Where does that lack of confidence come from, you think?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it just given the story that I just told you, yeah. I mean, if this person had came into our office 2, 3, 4, 8, 10 years ago, and we've started working together to really just kind of show them where they're at, where they're headed, it would probably have been a totally different conversation. Yes, they would have been a little shocked to lose their job. They would have had some initial concerns, but, you know, typically when we're working with folks that are, you know, 5 to 10 years out from retirement or sooner, we're going to do a financial independence study just to kind of show them when they would be financially independent and when work would be optional. Now, they might not necessarily believe that day one, but as you kind of work with somebody over time and continue to educate them, these things really do come to an understanding for the individual. And that would have been a totally different, you know, feeling in comparison to when they initially scheduled a meeting with me. So I think a lot of it really has to do that the sooner that you can start to understand financial planning and where you're at, where you're headed, what are some of the things, you know, that you can do to put yourself in the best situation, and what are some of the things that to make sure that you can avoid from a risk standpoint, the better off you're going to be from a confidence standpoint.
Is that why you do put a lot of emphasis on education too with everyone you work with? I know not only this podcast, which we strive to be educational and provide value for you, but you have the videos on your website, downloadable materials as well online. I mean, is that also kind of the goal to help these people gain confidence that maybe lack that?
100%. I mean, the average person's going to be a novice at this. There's definitely obviously some super smart people who really love diving into their finances weekly and staying up on it daily. And you know, that's I think a much smaller group. The average person, you know, is not up to speed on this every single day. So the more time you can spend together and going through this stuff on somewhat of a regular basis, the better off you're definitely going to be. It's no different than, you know, a contractor coming in talking about the, you know, structure of my house, of, you know, what needs to be. I don't know what they're saying to me, but if this person, which obviously is not going to happen, but if we had a builder or an architect always coming in and discussing our house and the, you know, how it works and how to fix it and make it better, I mean, those things would become a lot more common language to me.
We're talking about retirement readiness and how prepared are you, reasons why people are often, you know, use excuses to why they can't retire. But let's look at the other side of this for the people that really are ready to retire. They come in and, Anthony, look, I've had enough work and I'm ready to be done, but they aren't financially in that position to do so. How tough is that conversation to have?
You know, those convos do come up, but not as often as you might think. Okay. Or certainly not nearly as extreme either. What I would normally do is let's walk through it first in terms of, you know, how we can make this the least negatively impactful. That might be more of a question for them in terms of if we need to adjust something to make this work, what would be easiest for you? Is that working another year or two, doing some part-time work, reducing your budget, changing investment strategies, downsizing your home, getting kids off the payroll, getting rid of credit card debt, things like that would be kind of the process of elimination that I would go through with the person. I mean, there's going to be some folks that are like, I can't do another year of work. I'm like, this is it, right? And so we have to look at other alternatives. We recently had a more or less a newer client within the last couple years that comes to mind. She thought she had a larger pension than what it was. When we met her, she initially came in and provided these details. When we looked at it closer, we explained to her that this was not a monthly amount, but it was an annual amount. And that kind of threw her off course from her financial goals. Obviously, a little bit of a shock. We walked her through the options. She didn't hate her job. She was able to work from home. We showed her by, you know, working another year and then doing 2 years of part-time. It was able to push her Social Security out to get the max amount. She also had a deceased spouse that she didn't realize that she could collect Social Security on while she delayed hers. And, you know, with that said, those made big enough changes to offset the pension that she was able to, you know, retire in a way that made her happy. On top of that, she was already also planning to downsize. She still had the home, you know, that they raised the kids in. It was more than what's needed. The mortgage was going to be paid off. So, you know, it wasn't maybe exactly what she expected when she walked in. Yes, there was some negative conversations on how we could make this a better fit, but it wasn't too monumental where it derailed the person and it still got them to where they wanted to be.
Just a good reminder, though, like no matter where you kind of feel like you are, having these conversations and kind of going through and running the numbers and truly getting a firm grasp of that, people are probably often surprised more than they think, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, most of the times in those types of conversations, it's not as bad as you think. And more often than not, it can be fixed.
Best place to start then is to start your Cardinal success journey. Get your free assessment online now. Go to cardinalwg.com. Or if you want to call Anthony directly, you can do so at 609-362-5512. But whether you feel like you're ready or not, again, best to have that firm and proper plan in place so you can have confidence heading into retirement. All right, let's get a question here before we close out today's show. Anthony, and let's get one from Greg that ties in kind of well to what we're discussing today. But it says, my company is offering the option of a lump sum pension buyout, or we can just keep the monthly pension throughout retirement if we want. I've asked about 10 people around the office which option they'll choose, and it seems that exactly half want the buyout and half want to keep the pension. So crowdsourcing this decision did not help very much. What do you think?
Yeah, no, this is a great question, and there's a lot of options potentially to compare. Certainly the family setup, are you married or just have a significant other or single, plays a role in that. But I would just certainly start off with, you know, what's the purpose of this money? If it's essentially to replace income for retirement, I would certainly look at the payout amounts that you would be getting from the pension, the single life versus those joint survivorship options. Obviously, if you're not married, then it's probably just a single option that you're looking at. And I would look at that payout, and then I would compare that to taking the lump sum and running an analysis to see what you could get from an investment portfolio. Understanding that investment portfolio is not guaranteed like the pension, so there's obviously some risk there, but you obviously get that asset for life that you can, you know, take more or less from any given month as you get those payouts. And that's probably more of a risk question if you're comfortable with something like that. But as another alternative, I would also look at taking that lump sum and reaching out to some insurance companies, and an advisor would probably be the one that would be able to shop this out for you a little bit easier to kind of see, okay, if we took a lump sum and made that into your own pension, how does that stack up against the pension payouts? And sometimes it's going to be higher and sometimes it's going to be lower where it wouldn't really be considered. But going through those three different scenarios will really help you understand what makes the most sense for you. There's definitely going to be some pros to taking a lump sum, investing it into a regular, you know, stock and bond portfolio. And there's going to be times where the pension is just the safest way to go. And conversely, you know, the annuity could be an option because of, you know, you still have access in a lot of cases, or can choose a different beneficiary if you're not married, whereas it would, you know, go away with the pension. So those would be kind of the three different routes that I would go with that to kind of see what makes the most sense for this person.
All right, great question, Greg. We do appreciate that. And with that, we will close out today's episode. But I do also want to plug one more time as we talk about retirement readiness and how prepared you are. If you go to cardinalwg.com, you can get a toolkit right now. It's a tax-free retirement toolkit. It's a great kind of starting point, right, to kind of help you get prepared and give you some things to think about, right, Anthony?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it walks you through all the different things to think through as you secure your retirement. And we get a lot of good feedback that it's a great educational resource for folks who are looking to figure out where to get started.
Awesome. Again, go to cardinalwg.com. But if you prefer to call, again, one more time, that phone number is 609-362-5512. All right, Anthony, enjoy the trip to the beach, and good luck with the next round of reviews as they come up very soon, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Ben.
information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.